Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Hey, I'm excited to preach today. Not saying I'm not normally excited, do I? I do enjoy preaching, but this is a message that runs deep in my, well, I guess you could say it's a real conviction where I've seen God work through countless times. And so I'll share some of those personal testimonies along the way, which will be fun. But also just disclaimer, I'm still very much on the journey too, and I'll be the first to tell you that, but I also give you permission to remind me anytime to keep me on track with this message, okay? You got permission, all right? Hey, we had Pastor Ken preach an amazing message last week on Lordship. Such an incredible teaching of the Word. No one quite does it like him, and he touched on that passage, Luke chapter 6, why you call me Lord, Lord, and not do as I say. And that was hitting hard right there. He talked about our responsibility as stewards of what he's given us. And he said, this message makes people leave the church. And so, well, I'm so glad that you all came back today. Wait, unless none of you were here last week and you don't know what's happened. No. It's good to have you. But we're gonna continue that Lordship conversation today. And I want to just lay a foundation with this passage, Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart, not just a little bit of it, not just when you're not really sure what you do or your things didn't work, you know, all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding, because you're not very smart. The mic picked that up, sorry. In all your ways, someone say all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight, or he will direct your path. Praise the Lord. This is a great one to hang on the old toilet door. But it is also the inherent word of God. And it is key wisdom for our life. And if we can get this right, man, it saves us a lot of headaches and a lot of stress. Amen? So come on, why don't we pray? Thank you, Jesus. God, would you be our Lord? And show us spaces where you aren't in our lives. Minister to those places. Call us upwards into your kingdom way, God. Especially where it doesn't make sense to us in the natural. Lord, we choose to trust you. Would you minister today? We're here. We're ready. Speak, Lord. We're listening. Come, Lord. And have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Thank you, Stefan. You see, our lives are full of decisions every day. There's always so many things that are happening, so many different things and decisions going on. You know, you could, your job, for example, I mean, we're blessed in that we live in such a land of opportunity, but your job, you know, do I reduce my hours? Do I accept the transfer into a different department? What career path do I take? Or am I on the right career path? Or do I take a second job to earn a bit more cash, but that means I miss Connect Group at night? Right, you know, house decisions. Do we renovate, or do we like sell, or like do we relocate? You know, how do we even save enough money to buy a house? Or I can't find anywhere to rent. Where am I supposed to be? You know, don't even get me started on relationships. You know, like, am I ready? Is this going anywhere? If you're married, you're not allowed to ask that question. All right. When do we get married, maybe you're asking, or how do we breathe fresh life into our marriage, or how do we navigate time together with the kids around, you know, or you know, do I stay in Perth, do I relocate, do we spend more money on holidays, or do we try and pay the debts off or the mortgage sooner, or do I go back and study, or do I pull back from work and serve more? I won't stop you. Do I jump into this or to that? Is this an open door from God, or am I trying to push it? You know, so many things, right? And as Christians, we want him to be Lord of our lives, Lord over our lives, to lead and to guide us and to be Lord over all the things, right? And so that's the title of my message today, Lord of the Things, all right? Lord of the Things. Have we got any Lord of the Rings fans? Any Lord of the Rings fans? Yeah. Hey, did you guys know in the Fellowship of the Ring, the first one, there's actually a car that drives through in the background? Did you know that? Now you want to go watch it, right? That's 3.5 hours of your life you'll never get back. It's okay. I've got it here for you. No, I don't. That has nothing to do with my message, guys. Come on, stay focused. We're here for the Word of God, not to watch movies. Unbelievable. That was an adventure, wasn't it? I think media freaked out for it. We don't have a clip. What? But we're talking about all the things that we have going on, the different ways we can go, the opportunities, all the decisions, and how do we keep him Lord in it all? Yeah. Right? Like his promise is that he has good plans for us, right? A hope and a future, right? To prosper us. These are his promises to us. Good plans for you and I. And so how do we know that we're going the way that he wants us to go? Or how do we know if we're in his will, or this opportunity, is that what I'm meant to step into? Or what do we do with all these different things I've mentioned? And so I want to touch on a few keys that we can stand on when it comes to making decisions about all these things in our lives and how to keep him as Lord overall. Does that sound okay? So Lord of the Things, episode one is do what he has already said. Oh, that's profound. Do what he has already said. In Psalm 119, verse 105, it says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path." So if his word says it, we do it. That's kind of how we roll. If his word says it, we do it. You know, oh, should I be planted in a connect? That's a decision. Yes. Hebrews says, don't forsake gathering together. Acts Church says, gather big, gather small, right? You know, should I make things right with my mom? You know, yes, forgive as we have been forgiven, right? Blessed are those who are the peacemakers. You make peace, right? You know, or should I slash my boss's tires because he keeps dumping all this work on me and he's disrespecting me in the office? No, right? Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you and maybe go see a counselor. Should I serve? Should I tithe? Should I read my Bible? Should I love my neighbor? Should I pray? Yes, 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 yes. Okay? Some of this is really straightforward. Just do as the word says, right? But then there's a lot of the things like examples I gave before that it's a bit more directional. And it's kind of harder to make the call. And so we're going to take a look at Abraham in Genesis 22 to help us out. And this is where Abraham and Sarah, they could not conceive, but they've had this miracle baby. God has made a way and he's given them Isaac. And he's growing up and it's amazing. And then this is what happens in Genesis 22, verse 1 to 2. Sometime later, God tested Abraham and he said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you." Man, this is a major plot twist here. In Genesis 17, 19, God had said, "Yes, your wife Sarah will bear you a son and you will call him Isaac." Right? "I will establish my covenant, my promise with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him." And now he's being told to sacrifice Isaac, who hasn't got any descendants yet. It doesn't make sense, right? But you see, Abraham has decided in his heart of hearts that God is Lord. Yes. And he is not. Yes. So he obeys. Yes. What has God said to you? Yes. We're called to walk in that until he says otherwise. Yes. Until he says otherwise. Even if it doesn't make sense. Even if it doesn't seem like the way that you would do it, or even if it seems to contradict what you feel are the plans for your life from the Lord, we got to trust in his word because he has a higher perspective. He sees things that we don't. You know, you don't know what God is working in you and around you to prepare you for what's next. We got to trust what he has told us to do. And so as the scene plays out with Abraham, we read then in verse 10 to 14, it says, "Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son." What a moment, hey. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son," that which mattered most to Abraham, right? "Abraham looked up and there in a thicket, he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, 'The Lord will provide.'" The Lord will provide. "And to this day it is said, 'On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided.'" You see, Abraham walked in the word until the Lord brought another word. Right? He's like, okay, well, we're going up the mountain because that's what God said. And there was that obedience and that trust in the name of the Lord, what the Lord has said, until God said, no, now go this way, right? We're called to walk in what the Lord said until he says something different. You know, we've seen that in our lives. Having moved our lives around somewhat, we grew up here in Perth. And for those of you that don't know, my wife and I, we spent just under 6 years in Cambodia. We planted the Nations Church campus there. And it was at the end of 2020, we came back for a break. We did the first year of COVID there. And then it was about 6 months later, Pastors Ken and Chrissy said, "We want you here. We want you to stay in Perth." And basically what that meant was, like, it's not like, you know, okay, go back in 12 months, kind of sort your things, gradually hand things over, pack up all your stuff. It's like, no, the time is to shift is now. And I mean, with COVID, we couldn't go back. Anyways, and we were like, yes, okay. And you might think, well, how does that come about? And you see, it was 3 years earlier when we actually thought our time was done in Cambodia. We were ready to throw in the towel. We said, it's time for us to come home. But the Lord spoke so clearly to Tam and myself, and he said, I'll tell you when you're done here. I will make it so clear. But what I want you to do is I want you to surrender to this house. I want you to surrender to Pastor Ken and Chrissy. So if they want you here in Phnom Penh, you're here. If they want you back in Perth, they're there. If they want you somewhere else, you're somewhere else. And that was an incredibly liberating word, because it's like, oh, we don't now have to figure this out anymore. Where are we supposed to be? But that was what the Lord said. So then when it comes to mid-2021, when our whole lives are in Phnom Penh, Shiloh's enrolled in school there, we paid the whole year in advance, right? We had a fully furnished house, had this beautiful dining table with like the natural wood kind of top. It was, right? And God says, no, that's it. And so we're on the phone getting friends to help us sell stuff as we try and relocate here. And I remember the pillow talk conversation with my wife of like, okay, so they want us here, so should we do it? And we said, well, the last thing God said in this area of our lives was, you surrender to the house. If they want you here, you're here. And so we're like, yep, okay. We rolled over and went to sleep. And that was the shift, because that is what the Lord had said. So it was easy, right? Like, and so if the Lord has given you an instruction or a direction, you keep walking that until he says otherwise. Do what he's already said. And you'll most likely not know what it's going to look like, but that's why his word is a lamp unto our feet. It shines a few steps ahead, and then you walk them, and then you can see the next few steps, and then you walk. You see, this is not a Google Maps life where you've got the whole thing mapped out. It's a game of spotlight, right? Where are we going now? All right, this way. You understand? Do what he has already said. Keep walking that way until he says otherwise. All right, Lord of the Things sequel. Number two, trust him to shepherd you. Trust him to shepherd you. Psalm 23, verse 1 to 4. It's a beautiful psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his namesake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. David's writing is completely laced with this deep conviction of trust. I lack nothing because you're my shepherd, right? You lead me. You restore me, you guide me, you comfort me. You see, when we allow him to be the shepherd and us to be the sheep, this is what we give him permission to do in our lives, to lead us, to restore us, to guide us, to comfort us. That's the beauty of the sheep life that we're called to, right? Walk and trust your shepherd to guide you. I love it says your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You see, the rod, that was used to kill enemies, the wolves, the lions, the bears, that kind of thing. And so I understand from that, wow, okay, he protects me. Yeah. He protects me. So I can take comfort knowing that no matter where I go, God, you're going to fight for me and you're going to protect me, right? But then the staff, here, toss me the staff, youngs. Oh, you didn't want to throw it? All right. Then we have the staff. Now, this is not going to fit my neck because, you know, I've been working out and stuff. I haven't. The staff, though, this is actually to yank you back on track. You see, and so away from danger, away from places that are not that don't have what you need, or away from what the shepherd knows is not best for you. You see, the way shepherding works is that the sheep are free to walk and do as they please, right? All their life, and the shepherd only intervenes when a sheep is going off track. Right? If you don't hear clear, if you're like, man, I don't know what you're saying in this, right? Walk and trust that he will guide you, right? Trust that he will bring you back on track and he'll close the wrong doors and open the right ones. Now, I need to give a really clear and strong disclaimer in this point, right? This is contingent upon the fact that in your heart of hearts, you genuinely want to do God's will for your life, right? Not your own, right? So there's an inward permission for the Lord to pull you back on track if you go astray. Amen? Are you ready, yunks? Here we go. Good stuff, yunks. Good stuff, yunks. I'm going to use that the next service. That wasn't even planned, right? So this is a trust issue. We can trust Him. We got to trust Him to be the shepherd or Lord of our lives when we understand. We can do this, right? When we understand His agape love for us. Right, 1 John 4:9 says, this is how God showed His agape love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. You see, agape love is about God wanting the absolute best for you, regardless of what you have or haven't done, and even though you can never repay Him back. He desires only the absolute best for you. When you understand that, When you carry that as a deep revelation in your heart, man, you can trust Him to lead you and to be in control, because then you know that it'll be better than anything that you could make happen yourself. Anything. Let me give you an example. I really wanted to go to Bible college straight after high school. I knew that was something I wanted to do. I was passionate about God. And my parents really advised that I study something at university first and actually get a degree, explore that, rather than just being this bum that hangs out at church all the time, which they're totally right. That's exactly what I would have done. And so I obliged, and I completed a four-year occupational therapy degree. Yes, I am educated. Now, when you graduate university, right, well, then you want to go and get experience straight away. So it's like, all right, I got to work and stuff. And so this kind of idea of doing Bible college was sort of thrown aside. I'm like, I don't know when this happens. I kind of know this is something God wants to do, but I don't know. And I had no idea. And now I'm getting locked into work, and you want to focus in that space. But I knew in my heart of hearts, my desire was, God, I want to do whatever You have for me. This is not about me. And so 2 years into this OT role, I was suddenly fired, like out of nowhere. It's a whole nother story. I'll tell you another time. And I didn't do anything bad, all right? Well, maybe I did. All right. But I was gutted. But within 36 hours, I'd had three separate instances of the Lord prompting me to do Bible college. So I was like, okay, I guess I'm in. All right, the first one was the next day, Pastor Clara, she comes up to me, and I was like, oh, I just lost my job. And she's like, oh, sweet, now you can do Bible college. And she wasn't the college pastor back then, right? She was just a friend. And I was like, that was really insensitive, thanks, but, you know, whatever. And then that next morning, I'm spending time with the Lord, and I cannot get it out of my head. Like, I'm trying to read, I said, Bible college. But so I start Googling Bible college, and I'm like, I don't know. And then I Pastor Ken calls me into his office. I was like, great, what's happening in this space of my life? Am I getting, you know, in trouble here too? And he says, we want to get you credentialed as a pastor. We see that on your life. And so we want you to really seriously consider going and doing Bible college. I was like, all right, I get it. Bam, the Lord wants me to do Bible college. He's yoinked me this way. And so then this is obviously the next season that He has for me. We got to trust that He's going to guide you to the right pastures, right? It's the shepherd's job to know where the sheep need to go and eat and live, right? Not the sheep. You see, maybe you've been knocking down all sorts of doors rather than just seeking His will and trusting Him to lead you. You know, if you're weighing up a big decision, but you have a sense of peace in your spirit and in those that have given you wise counsel, then walk. And just give the Lord genuine permission to shut it down, to close the doors, to pull you another direction if that's not what He has for you. Do what He's already said. Trust Him to be your shepherd. And then the final feature in the trilogy today is, if in doubt, ask again. If in doubt, ask again. If you still aren't sure, ask God to make it clear. He's okay with that. Gideon is a great example of this. We go to Judges chapter 6, verse 11. The angel of the Lord came and sat down in the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Verse 14, the Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hands. Am I not sending you? So God has sent an angel to appear to Gideon and speak to him. And like they've had a conversation. I've never had an angel rock up and talk to me like that, but I feel like that seems pretty clear, right? Like, okay, God has literally rocked up and is speaking to me. But then Gideon says in verse 17, if now I've found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it is really you talking to me. You know, okay, maybe it's a hallucination. Maybe I just inhaled some wheat threshing fumes and I'm a little cuckoo right now. I don't know, but if you read on, God obliges and he gives him this sign. He burns his offering and then it comes again. We jump to 36 and then Gideon says to God, oh, if you'll save Israel by my hand as you've promised, like as you've already given words about, look, I just need another sign, right? I'll place a wool fleece on the threshing floor. If there's dew only on the fleece and all the ground is dry, then I know that you'll save Israel by my hand, as you said. And that's what happened. Gideon rose early the next day. He squeezed the fleece and wrung out the dew, a bowl full of water. Then Gideon said to God, don't be angry with me. Let me just wait, make one more request. Allow me to test with the fleece, but this time make the fleece dry and the ground be covered with dew. And that night, God did so. Only the fleece was dry, all the ground was covered with dew. He asked for sign after sign. Gideon was still not sure. Did God get mad at him? No. No, he didn't. God is patient and he is kind and he wants you to go his way. So he's okay to help us to get there. All right? He's okay with us wanting clarity. You know, we see God even goes one step further in taking Gideon on this journey. Because God is so kind. Judges 7, 9, 11. During that night, the Lord said to Gideon, get up, go down against the camp because I'm going to give it into your hands. I'll tell you again, just so you're sure. Another word from God. If you're afraid to attack, go down to camp with your servant Purah and listen to what they're saying. Afterward, you'll be encouraged to attack the camp. So he and Purah, his servant, went down to the outposts of the camp. Basically, then what happens is one of the soldiers has had this dream and he's sharing it with his soldier buddy. And then his buddy, this is what his buddy replies, and Gideon overhears it, verse 14 and 15. His friend responded, this can be nothing other than the sword of Gideon, son of Joash the Israelite. God has given us, the Midianites, and the whole camp into his hands. When Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he bowed down and worshiped. He returned to the camp of Israel and called out, get up. Someone say, get up. The Lord has given the Midianite camp into your hands. God is so kind. He gives word and sign and word and sign so much to help Gideon get there, to trust that this is the word of the Lord. You see, God is not mad at you seeking clarity. You know, he's patient and he wants us to know his will. But then once you have it, get up. Like, you got to get up and be obedient. Don't be disobedient. But just as Gideon says, get up, because the Lord has given this into your hands. He's given it into your hands if he's spoken it. You know, back when I was 18, I just finished high school and I'd made it into the Lakeside Lightning, the NBL 1 basketball team. And, yeah, flex, But at the same time, without even thinking, I'd said yes to being a leader in youth ministry. And, you know, both were Friday nights, both were massive communities. That both could not coexist. I don't know what happened. I just said, yep, let's do everything. I was 18, that's what we do, right? We just say yes to everything, right? And I had no idea what to do. I was like, God, do you want me doing youth ministry or do you want me to do basketball? Like, there's influence in both. Like, when you're good at sports, people listen to you. Like what do you want me to do? And I just remembered I was so struggling to hear, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? And every time it came to the point where I had to decide, like, I have to choose. You can't, they're right now happening at the same time. Do you know what happened? I would dislocate my shoulder. Not on purpose. I was like, oh, sorry, I can't play. Not like that, right? And so I wouldn't be able to play. And so I would go and do youth ministry. This happened 3 times. And after 3 times, I felt like I kind of got the hint. And I pulled out of the basketball and I jumped into ministry. Guess what? I have 0 issues with my shoulder now. I didn't need surgery or anything. Totally fine. And look, so maybe the Lord had to literally twist my arm for me to get it. But the point is, That the Lord isn't going to give up on you. Like, oh, I said something and you just didn't hear it, so we'll hurry up, like make it. No, he's like, I'm going to help you get there. He wants to help you get there in knowing what his will is for the season you're in. Pray that it doesn't get to a point where he has to break one of your limbs, all right? Then you know you're really not listening, right? No, but just like Abraham, walk with the word that God has given you, right? Do what he's already spoken to you about, okay? Trust him to shepherd you, right? To guide you back on track if you stray. And thirdly, ask again if you're not sure, right? The Lord wants to bring clarity. He wants his sons and daughters to follow him. So he's going to bring you to that space. Amen. You see, when we make him Lord of all these things, Lord of our decisions, God responds with blessing, with fruit, with fulfillment, right? Like, we come back to Abraham's decision to follow the word of the Lord and obey, and look at how God responds. Verse 15, the angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. He stepped into a holy inheritance because of his obedience, his willingness to go the Lord's way. And God responds and says, man, I'll bless you. I will bless you. You're putting your life in my hands. Watch me take care of you. Watch me do more than you can ask, think, or imagine. Worship team, you come join me. You know, I remember back in 2014, I was working for Uncle Benny. Benny Young comes to our church, and I was selling glass doors and windows. So this was after I'd lost my OT job. I was studying Bible college, finished that, and I was selling doors and windows. So I wasn't even using my degree, and everyone would say, oh man, you're so called to like ministry, to full-time ministry. You're gonna, one day you'll run an awesome church, and that's great, but I'm selling windows. I don't even know anything about windows, right? I know a bit now. You know, you got 4 mil glass, 6 mil glass, you can get, never mind. And so yes, I knew that ministry was on my life, but the Lord had told me to take that job. So that's the job that I had. I just walked in what the Lord had said to do. I was like, okay, I trust you to guide me where I'm meant to be. I don't like this job. I don't like this company. I don't feel like we're going anywhere, but this is where you want me. And it was this incredible test of, can I have integrity in that space? Can I be faithful when I'm not where I want to be or where I think I should be? You know, I did that for 2 years, that job. And then you know what happened? God sent us to Cambodia to do what? To run a church. He catapulted me into the next season of what he had for me. He put me on this path of accelerated growth and fruit in my life, right? And he's continued to bless me, my family abundantly, and outwork the purpose in my life. Let's let him be Lord of all the things, amen? Amen? Jesus says this to us too, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness and everything else will be added to you. Everything else will be taken care of. Everything you need, it is his joy to take care of you. The Bible makes this clear, but is he Lord? Is he the one you're allowing to lead your life? Are you seeking him? Are you obeying? Are you trusting him as your shepherd and what he's saying? Is he Lord of the things of your life?
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.